All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. Week 2 post-Super Bowl edition of the show. Friday edition of the show as well. Sorry for the delay there. I've been getting a few things done around one game day place this week and bumped back, but we're not up against a game this weekend either, so it doesn't hurt as much to have the extra day doing the show on Friday instead of Thursday. Although it does hurt to not have a game on Sunday or Saturday or any football anywhere, except, you know, don't forget this week, folks, and this year, with everything going on that's been so crazy, Division 1 AA, as I still call it, Division FCS, as it's known in college football, the next level from FBS, is doing their season in the spring. A lot of teams are playing football. There will be football on TV this weekend. I think McNeese State played last week in the only game, and they played against Tarleton or something. But there's a bunch of games. So there's going to actually be football if you want to get your fix. And I certainly do. And, you know, with the Super Bowl every year, I always get a little sad when it happens because it's the end of football season. But this year with the Bucks playing, it didn't hit me that much because I was just thinking about the Bucks. And so here we are now, and the Bucks are still Super Bowl champions. And that, first of all, will always be. Championships are forever. But even as the reigning Super Bowl champions, they're going to be that for the next year. Not just this week, not just next week, not just next month, but for the next year. And that's a really cool feeling. And I've still been getting emails filtering in from people talking about what it means to them and talking about the different emotions they're dealing with and things like that. And it's been really cool, and I always love hearing from you guys. So again, if you ever want to email me, and it can be about anything, but email me at bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's B-O-B-B-Y-G-A-M-E-D-A-Y at yahoo.com. Same thing on Twitter, at bobbygameday. And a lot of people now, you know, life's getting back to normal. It was a fun few weeks there during the playoffs, and then there was the parade, and things felt kind of surreal and almost not like real life. But everybody's got responsibilities, and whether it's jobs, families, kids, significant others, all that stuff, whatever. And none of that stuff changes just because your favorite football team won a championship. So a lot of people, I know I got one email said, Bobby, I can't even understand this year. I'm really struggling with it. Super Bowl, once I knew we were going to win it, I went numb and I had to watch the game again 3 days later. I actually missed a lot while the game was going on. And it's all just been kind of weird. And it really has been. And hopefully things are getting back to normal little by little. It seems like they are. But it really, like, if you could go back in time and tell me 10 years ago that Tampa teams are going to win two championships and play for a third one, win their league, and the Rays winning the American League and losing the World Series, all three Tampa teams would be in the championship of their respective leagues, and two of them would win it. I mean, what my imagination would have done with that statement 10 years ago honestly would have been so much more. Oh, and also if you told me it would happen in a year when the Super Bowl's in Tampa. But my imagination would have run wild with what that would have been like. And I don't want to say it was underwhelming because, listen, folks, I don't care if it's COVID. I don't care if it's fans in the stands. I don't care if it's a partial season, bubble, whatever the hell you want to call it for hockey or for baseball. Or football was pretty normal besides fans. They kept everything about as normal as you could. But I don't care about any of that. If you win a championship and it's a legit championship, they played the season out and everything like normal, and the playoffs, and they didn't make any kind of weird concessions, which they didn't. In hockey, they played the full playoffs. They actually played more. And same thing in football. Baseball, they did shorten the season itself quite a bit, but the playoffs were the same. But I don't care. If you get that done, it's legit. And so I'm not going to even dare say it was underwhelming. That's probably not the right word for what has been going on here, but it has been really weird because in my wildest dreams, I would have never imagined all this happening. Even over a span of a few years, like even tightly bunched into two or three seasons, much less all tightly bunched into one season. And now that it has happened, so many of us just kind of, it was just a thing that appeared on our television screens, right? Like, I know a lot of people don't go to games anyway, but usually I'm good for, I mean, there have been years, I went to 100 and something straight Bucks games from 1997 through like 2010 or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I didn't miss a single one. But even in years since or in years before, I've always been to at least 2-3 Buck games in person, usually more than that, if not all of them. And same thing with Lightning games. I always get to a few of those. I've been to a, in person, I've been to a Lightning game during at least every single playoff series. I haven't been to every single Lightning playoff game, but I've been to a game in every single playoff series they've ever played until this year when they played them all in Toronto and Edmonton. And same with the Rays. I mean, I wouldn't miss any of that stuff. I know a lot of people wouldn't either. And even if you didn't go to the games, it's just different around town. You see the people driving by, the car flags and stuff, all the just buzz. And had it not been for the Super Bowl being here in Tampa, I mean, that was really a blessing for so many reasons. It may have been that way. It just didn't feel, you know, even though the games themselves were exciting, it was really weird having all that going on and having it feel like it was just feeling removed from it, I guess, is the best way to put it. So, I mean, I'm just happy that all of it happened. I would never, ever complain about it, but I totally understand. It was Anthony with the email there. Totally understand what he is saying about that. And it was a weird year. And it's kind of like, you know what it reminds me of is, or at least for me, my wedding day and my wedding reception, because that was such a fun day. And it was such an incredible experience. And I had so many people that I love all in one place at the same time, which is, you know, that never happens. I mean, these are all people who I see at least semi-regularly on my own, but not all at the same time. Like, hey, there's my grandmother. Hey, there's one of my buddies from college. Hey, there's my ex-girlfriend's parents. Like, all these different people who, again, I see them all, you know, but never at the same, all those people will never, ever, ever be in the same room at the same time except for that day. And I remember looking back at that day now, like, there was so much going on, and we were so busy leading up to it, and it was just, it was a complete blur in a lot of ways. Like, it was moving too fast, and I didn't take enough time to just sit back and enjoy it. And now it's gone, and I still have the memories, of course, and they're beautiful memories, but it's like, man, I wish I could go back and do that again, except know in real time exactly what was going on and be able to take stock of it all and not rush. Because while it's happening, it's the first time you're experiencing all this sensory overload. You know, you're just kind of rushing around. I mean, I was like a chicken with my head cut off, going over to talk to this person, going over to say hello to that person. Man, just that's what it kind of was like with all these teams. Like the Lightning Stanley Cup thing in 2004, I mean, I still have such vivid memories of that. And the one they just won in 2020, I was like, whoa, yeah, and onto the World Series with the Rays and onto the Super Bowl with the Bucks. And yeah, I understand what Anthony is saying here, saying I had to watch the game again 3 days later. I still have the Super Bowl on my DVR here, and I have not had a chance to rewatch all of it yet. And then the Mic'd Up just came out. If you like that stuff, the Mic'd Up stuff, if you have a smart TV, just go on YouTube and just search it. Just search Super Bowl 55 or Super Bowl LV Mic'd Up, and they have the whole game, all the different players mic'd up. You can hear all the comments they're saying. It's on, most of it's on YouTube. You should be able to find it. NFL Films does it, and I think NFL Network shows it too if you want to DVR it that way if you don't have a smart TV. But that's cool. I still need to sit down, really sit down and take my time. Same thing with the parade. I mean, the Bucks won the Super Bowl, and then it was like, whoa, hey, there's a parade tomorrow. Like, I was like, whoa, wait a second. My kids are in school. I got to pick them up. I couldn't make it. You know, just, man, all very, very fast. And a lot of the talk has centered around, it's kind of calmed down a little bit now, but at the parade and those days after the Super Bowl, a lot of the talk, oh, we're going for two. Like, right off the gate, I was actually kind of impressed, I guess. I should like their ambition, because Bruce Arians was saying it, other players were saying it. They're like, oh, man, we're going for two. That's like the first thing out of their mouths. And I was almost like, hey, take it easy a little bit. Don't worry about that right now. Yes, back to work, absolutely. But, I mean, we all know, I guess. I mean, we watched the Bucks. It's been 45 years of the Bucks. This is only the second time they've done this. How incredibly hard it is to even play for one of these things, much less win one of these things. And then you do it, and it's like, well, we're going for two. There's a reason that that doesn't happen very often. It hasn't happened since the Patriots did it. Almost 20 years ago, before that, it was the Cowboys in the 90s, and it's happened a handful of times, but it's not, you know, and the thing is, the Bucks absolutely are built for it. If you look at their roster, we're going to talk about that coming up later on the show, you know, as far as the free agents and the things that they'll have to, you know, make some moves to fit everybody under, and they may lose a person or two, but they're, no matter what ends up happening in free agency, they're going to be well-positioned to keep competing next season. But, I mean, it's just so random. I mean, even this Super Bowl, a month ago, it didn't seem like the Bucks were a favorite to win. They weren't a favorite to win it. And they get out of Washington in a game that I felt like they were pretty well in control of for most of that game. But the other three, all of them, even the Saints game, you look back, oh yeah, we beat the Saints. Hey man, that game turned on one play, Antoine Winfield forcing the fumble of Jared Cook. The Green Bay game turned on the halftime sequence. I mean, the Super Bowl ended up being, shockingly enough, the Super Bowl ended up being probably the most decisive of the four playoff games, including the Redskins game. But man, you change a play or two here and there. I don't care how good you are. I mean, for your number to come up, and make no mistake, any team who wins a championship, yes, they did it through hard work. Yes, they did it through their own efforts. But yes, they also had some luck. Any team needs some of that, okay? I don't care how good they are. For your number to come up 2 years in a row like that, and for you to be good enough to take advantage of it, that takes a lot. So, I mean, I'm not saying I don't care if the Bucks win or not next season. Of course, they're, yeah, go for two, rah-rah. But, you know, the Chiefs were going for two as well. And they actually got to the Super Bowl, to their credit, before they ran into a team like the Bucks. So I have no idea about all that. Well, we've got all offseason to worry about that type of stuff. But just enjoy it. You know, the reality is set in now, and it's just back to day-to-day life. But no matter what happens, again, we've got 11 and a half months. And that entire time, the Bucks will be the defending Super Bowl champions. And it's nice to have that feeling back again for the only time since 2003 and the offseason there. The Free Stretch, as it always is brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. I always tell you, if you're looking for a car, whether it's brand new or whether it's pre-owned or used or whatever you want to call it, they've got everything there, and there's no reason not to look at Bill Curry Ford. One, because it's so easy. You just go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. They spell it C-U-R-R-I-E. You can see all the inventory there. Now, two, not just going to the website, they'll bring the car to you at your home or office if you don't want to go to the showroom, which you're welcome to do, and they have a massive one and a massive lot a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. But hey, go to the website, pick a couple out, give them a call, say, could you bring that to me? I want to test drive it. They will do that. Same thing if you buy it, they'll bring it back to you, home, office, whatever, and you have the car. And when you do, you get the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty. You get the first year free service with oil changes and all that. You get 10 years of roadside assistance. And that's a guarantee, unlimited nationwide warranty, that even if it's years from now and you bring the car back, you have engine trouble, they will cover you at the service center. I mean, that's, again, to me, the biggest thing of all the things Bill Curry Ford has to offer. So check them out, BillCurryFord.com, or go see him in person a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. My good friend and fellow Jesuit alum, Sean Sullivan, the GM there. So one other thing I wanted to say before we talk about free agency, because, you know, we all got the shocking news about Vincent Jackson late last week, and obviously just completely stunning. He was only 38 years old. And more than that, I mean, he was a guy, you know, every once in a while there's people who just seem like they have it all. And Vincent Jackson was one of those guys. I mean, he was a phenomenal free agent pickup, first of all, for the Bucks on the field when they picked him up. And he ended up having six 1,000-yard seasons in a span of 7 years. Just a consummate professional. Off the field, you know, he was the son of two military people, and he used those experiences from his life and went on to do incredible things for military families off the field. He was the Bucks Walter Payton Man of the Year Award nominee 4 years in a row from 2013 to 2016. Also, you know, had never graduated college. He played at Northern Colorado, I believe. But then after he got into the NFL and had a long career, still wanted to graduate. And in 2016, he did that, graduating at age 33 from USF. He was good looking, you know, just one of those guys, just a winner, like, you know, tall, athletic, great at sports, great off the field, good looking guy. One of those people that seemed like he had it all. And then you hear about something like this happening, and there's no way to know exactly what happened, folks. I mean, there's a lot of reports. They say that it's going to be weeks until the full report will be out. So we don't know exactly what happened or if there was a reason behind it or if it just happened. We don't know any of those things, and there's no need to speculate. But just incredibly sad. And his family did say they're going to donate his brain and they're going to try and figure out, you know, if there was any type of concussion issues or things like that. And I guess the biggest wake up, and, you know, maybe all of us know people in our lives, including ourselves, like not just other people, but you know, just try and check in with people and just try and, you know, people you're close to or people you care about, just, I don't mean be weird about it, you know, and be like, hey, man, are you okay? You know, just check in, just try and talk to people, because, like, this was really shy. Sometimes you hear about these ex-players passing away, and even though they're young and even though it is kind of a surprise, you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I could see that, or that doesn't surprise. This one, I mean, one of the last people I would have ever guessed this would happen to. And again, we don't know what this is yet. We don't know what happened to him. But it's possible there was things that, you know, having played football that could contributed to it. We don't know. Either way, people that you think are on top of the world and people who you think are just genetically engineered to be winners and look like everything is perfect in their lives, you realize that it's not necessarily the case a lot of times too late. So, you know, that's the only thing I would say about that. But our hearts go out to his family and everybody close to him. I know he had a lot of friends in the community, certainly a lot of friends in the broadcasting community, people that played with him or people that worked with him and things like that. So just terribly, terribly sad, but I wanted to mention it here on the Free Stretch today. And he was a really good free agent pickup for the Bucks and did a lot of good things for them. And the free agency period this year is going to be starting 4 weeks from now, basically. And that's when, I think it's 20, might be exactly 26 or 27 days. I'm recording this on Friday, but the free agency period starts with a 48-hour period where teams can negotiate with the agents. And then, you know, like I said, 2 days after that, then you can talk with the actual players if they're still negotiating to be done. The Bucks have several free agents, but there are eight in particular, and you've probably gone through all this by now. There are eight in particular that they are going to try the hardest to keep. And obviously, they may not be able to keep all eight, but I'm not going to say this is a hard and fast order, but I just kind of threw this together off the top of my head, and your results may vary. But of the eight, in my personal order, and I reserve the right to change this at any time because I can go back and forth on these, I think Lavonte David is number one, and I think he'll be re-signed. I think Shaq Barrett is right up there as well. Those two guys on the defensive side of the ball, to me, I think you make sure, I don't think that's going to be a problem, but you make sure they're taken care of. Not far behind, and a guy who I also do not see leaving, is Chris Godwin. It's hard for me, and it's not impossible. I mean, any of these guys could go. Chris Godwin, I'd be really, really just shocked to see him leaving one Buck place, but he's on the list. To me, those are the three most important, those three. But then you've got a few more. And Ndamukong Suh is one. He's a free agent. Rob Gronkowski, obviously. Now, Gronkowski with him, I mean, as good as he still can be, it feels like, and I mean, the way he made it sound like is that he is back in football because of Tom Brady and wanting to be part of that whole thing. I don't think he's out there shopping for other deals from other teams as much as maybe the other players are. So with Gronkowski, I feel like it's like either Bucks or not play. And I think he's going to be on the... I think they'll keep him. And then you get further down. And who haven't I mentioned yet? Okay, these other three. Antonio Brown, Ryan Succop, Leonard Fournette. And all these guys are important, okay? I'm not saying any of them isn't that important. I mean, if you look at the Super Bowl, the Bucs scored 31 points. And every single one of those 31 points was scored by a person who was not on the team the year before. And they were scored by people who are on this list. Leonard Fournette had a touchdown. Rob Gronkowski had two. Antonio Brown had one. That's 24 points. The other 7 points were a field goal and 4 extra points from Ryan Succop. And all those guys are free agents now and could conceivably be gone. Here's my thing with Antonio Brown. First of all, I like what Tyler Johnson's been bringing to the table. Antonio Brown makes some big plays in the playoffs, had the big touchdown against the Redskins, had the touchdown in the Super Bowl, had a few other catches. And listen, when the Bucs brought in Antonio Brown, we raised questions. Should they be doing this? Are they disrupting something? They've already got a pretty good receiving core. Do they really need to disrupt the whole thing? Is it going to upset Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, even though they're classy enough that I don't think they'd ever say it out loud? Are they going to feel like, hey, man, we're going to start losing our touches now. We're not good enough. And none of that happened, okay? Antonio Brown, and never mind all his off-field stuff, which we also talked about, but he came in and did everything he was supposed to do. He wasn't the downfield threat that maybe he used to be, but he didn't do anything wrong off the field. He wasn't a distraction anyway, and he contributed. And so it was a valuable addition. Hats off to the Bucks for doing that. But I don't think it was an addition that was so crucial and that's so irreplaceable looking forward. Like I said, I like what Tyler Johnson's been able to do, and I think the Bucks receiving core would be okay. And if you only let me keep one of Godwin or Brown, it would be Godwin, and it may come to that. Then we get to Succop, okay? The Bucks have been through kicking hell for over a decade running before we get Ryan Succop, who comes out of the clouds. Like so many kickers do, these free agents, I always tell you guys, it's not that big of a deal. Like, just get a guy. Don't, you know, Aguayo got drafted. They drafted Matt Gay. Now you find a free agent, he's the guy. So Succop goes 9-for-9 in the playoffs, goes 11-for-13 on extra points, just as generally reliable. And it's something that seemed like a complete luxury before, and now we're taking it for granted. Love to have Succop back. But again, he's not one that, I mean, he's a luxury. Like, if you're able to keep him after you still keep all these other guys I just mentioned, then great. But kickers, just like running backs, which we'll get to in a moment, are not that hard to replace. They're not that hard to acquire. And you can get, here's the thing, it's not that they're not important. It's that the quality of the type of person you can get doesn't vary as much between the first round and a free agency guy the way other positions do. Like, if you get a quarterback in the first round, or a quarterback that's an undrafted free agent, there's a vast, vast difference between those two things, obviously. But a kicker drafted at all, or a running back drafted, you know, high round, compared to a guy off the street, very routinely, the productions of player A and player B, those two guys, don't diverge that much. There's just not as much variance from round to round. Whereas some positions like edge pass rusher is one, quarterback's another one. The lower you get down in the draft, you tend to lose a lot of quality at those positions, and you don't with running back and kicker. So that's nothing against Succop, and certainly Fournette, who played his ass off in the playoffs and was a huge part of the Super Bowl win. I'm not taking anything away from those guys, and I'd love to have them back. But if Fournette, given his performance in the playoffs, gets the kind of offer that seems like it might be possible, and as you've probably heard the term, essentially prices himself out of Tampa Bay, then you wish him well. James White is a free agent coming out of New England. You can get him to help Brady out. You've already got Keyshawn Vaughn, who was pretty quiet in 2020, but can be a contributor. And Ronald Jones is still, he's got one more year left. LeSean McCoy's not going to be back, I'm pretty sure. And if Fournette's not back either, that's still fine. Like, those are things where if you lose those guys, it's okay. Succop, same thing. I love Succop. If they can work something out, I would rather have him than any other kicker. But there are other kickers we can get where we don't face much of a drop-off, in my opinion. So that's all I'm saying about that. And we've got a few weeks to really get into the nitty-gritty with all this stuff. They just released the cap floor the other day. It's going to be $180 million. So the cap ceiling, remember, the floor is just the minimum you're allowed to spend. The cap is the actual cap. And the actual cap, there's speculation it could be anywhere from just barely above 180 to the high 180s to 190, somewhere in there. Any little bit helps, of course. The Bucks aren't in terrible shape overall. They're only in tough shape if you consider it mandatory to keep all eight of these big-name free agents. And I don't think it is. I know that they all want to, and everybody's always feeling it. Like I said before, those first 48 hours after the Super Bowl, and you're having a parade, and everyone's feeling it. Yeah, man, I'll come back. Okay. You know, let's figure it out. But I get it. Guys have to take the best deal possible. Or they don't have to, but, you know, you'd prefer to. You only get one or two shots at these big contracts, especially in the NFL, and they're not guaranteed. So you get guaranteed money where you can. And we will get all into that as we get closer to free agency. And, of course, there's the draft, which the Bucks happily will be picking 32nd in. There's no combine or anything like that this year, so it's going to be a little bit different. But we've got that whole process coming up. And there'll be some moves around the league. There already was a move around the league earlier this week as Carson Wentz was traded by the Eagles to Indianapolis. I don't think that's that big of a deal. I think the Colts are, you know, they're doing the best they can, I guess, but I don't think Wentz is, maybe they can rehabilitate his career. But one thing that did kind of stand out with that move to me, and it didn't have anything to do with the Colts or the Eagles, but with Wentz's move from Philadelphia to Indianapolis, it means now there are no quarterbacks, no franchise quarterbacks, if you want to call it that, that were drafted in the first round between 2009 and 2016 that are still with the team that drafted him. Not a single one. You can go year by year. If you look at 2009, Matthew Stafford, he'd be the closest one to it, but he just moved to the Rams. Mark Sanchez is out of football. We all know about Josh Freeman, obviously. We'll always have 2010, though, right, Josh? The 2010 draft, Sam Bradford's retired. Tim Tebow also just retired from baseball, that is. He's been out of football for some time. 2011, Cam Newton was a franchise quarterback for the Panthers, but now he's with the Patriots. Jake Locker is retired. Blaine Gabbert with the Jags, now back up for the Bucks. Christian Ponder, been out of football for a while. 2012 draft, Andrew Luck retired. Robert Griffin III is a backup with the Ravens, not with the Redskins anymore. Tannehill is a good quarterback, but he's not with his original team. He's with the Titans. And then you've got, who else from that draft? Brandon Whedon. Okay, yeah, he's retired. EJ Manuel, 2013 for the Bills, retired. Blake Bortles is still in the league. In 2014, he was drafted by the Jags, but he's a backup for the Broncos now. Johnny Manziel, and I always make the mea culpa whenever his name comes up, okay? I wanted the Bucs to draft Johnny Manziel in a big way. I was all about Johnny Manziel. Thought he was going to be awesome, thought he had what it took, thought he was going to be the guy to turn this franchise around. I said it on the record, and I might as well keep admitting to it. I was wrong there. Also in 2014 was Teddy Bridgewater, who's with the Panthers now. Jameis, Mariota, we remember 2015. And then 2016, Jared Goff just switched teams. Now that Wentz has switched teams. Oh, and Paxton Lynch. Not a single quarterback in the first round still with their original team. And this is something that, you know, we don't have to worry about right now with Tom Brady looking as good as ever and looking certainly at least well set up for 2021. Not going to think much further beyond that. And these are first-round guys, by the way, I was mentioning, because there are quarterbacks drafted in that time span that are good. Derek Carr, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, those have either are franchise quarterbacks or have the ability to still become franchise quarterbacks. They just weren't drafted in the first round. But it's just an interesting look at the high-round quarterback picks. And it does give you a little bit of hope in the eventuality that we need to replace Tom Brady, which we will, that you don't absolutely have to get a quarterback in the top five picks for it to be a guy you can rely on. I mean, you see what Mahomes has done for Kansas City, and he was the third quarterback taken, whatever it was. And obviously, going way back with Brady, he was a lot of these teams, you know, have gotten their guys, and they may be still in the first round, but just not. You don't have to say, oh, we're going to go 3-13, and if we don't, we'll never get the quarterback we need. You can be a decent team and maybe look at ways to find a guy like that and not necessarily have to be picking really, really high to do it, which, of course, we hope the Bucs never are. And they have a window right now. You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, what's the best approach here? I mean, you're trying to win Super Bowls. They just got one. I don't have a problem if they end up saying, let's go for broke right now and just get creative with this stuff to keep these guys, even if it puts us in cap hell a couple years down the road and we have to rebuild or we have to blow off a year. Not that you ever want to do that, or at least you never want to officially go on the record as saying you're doing that with your fan base. But if that's what it took for the next couple years to be really good and have a chance to win another Super Bowl, yeah, okay, I could live with that. We've seen how fast it can turn around in the NFL anyway, so I mean, you know, if you have to just kick the can down the road a little bit, well, we'll talk about that more in the coming days, weeks, and months here on the Free Stretch. Until then, oh, one other thing I wanted to get to, corrections and retractions. I want to always correct any mistakes we make on the show, and I was re-listening to parts of last week's show, and sometimes you have brain farts or names get jumbled up, and not a big deal or anything, but I was talking about the pass interference call against Mike Evans, or on Mike Evans' defender in the Super Bowl, and I said Perriman, because I was thinking of Breshad Perriman, who's the old Bucs receiver, when the defensive back covering Evans was Breshad Breeland. So the name Breshad jogged my memory, and I said Perriman. Obviously, I meant Breshad Breeland, not Breshad Perriman. And in any event, wanted to correct that from last week's show. So, with all that in mind, hey, folks, thank you for joining us. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, our show sponsor. Thanks to the Joes, as always, for giving me this platform and allowing me to come and be in front of all of you on the single best place anywhere on the internet for Bucks coverage. Thanks to all of you for listening. You are all Super Bowl champion fans. And what I'd like to think is a Super Bowl champion podcast. But either way, that's the Free Stretch for mid-February, off-season week 2, 2021. I'll be back next week. Like I said, we got free agency and other things coming up. And we'll be talking about a lot of stuff on this show. Tampa sports in general, not just the Bucks. It'll be a fun offseason either way. Until then, wherever you are, have a great weekend. Be safe, have fun, enjoy the warmer weather, although it's cooling down a little bit. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.